APG? AGB? Yo. Everybody ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Who's going to lead the flag salute?
I will.
Okay, thank you. Call to order regular meeting of the Oceanic Community Service District Board of Directors on Wednesday, December 13th. Roll call, please.
Director Bernay.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Colwell.
Here.
Vice President Austin. President White.
Here. Please rise for the flag salute.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Look at the agenda review, please. Any changes, any amendments, anything from... Entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 4-0, 1 absent. Closed session. Would our counselor like to present the closed session item?
The board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D2, conference with district legal counsel regarding anticipation of litigation. Number of cases is 1.
Call back the meeting to order of the Oceanic Community Services District Board of Directors on Wednesday, December 13th. Mr. Counselor?
Report out of closed session is no reportable action.
Thank you. Thank you. Moving on to public comment, items not on the agenda. And I see I have Brenda Lowe.
Hello, my name is Brenda Lowe. I'm a resident here in Oceano. And I had a question. I was told that there will be a special meeting in January. And I know there's not one the end of December. So is there a special meeting scheduled in January?
We do anticipate having a special meeting either in January or February. But they aren't scheduled yet. Normally would have the Brown Act requires a posting of the notice 24 hours in advance of the special meeting. What we do as a protocol under future agenda items is that when an issue comes up that warrants a special meeting, we'll often identify the date well in advance. And so the best thing to do is to look at the agenda each time, because if the board identifies a specific date for a future special meeting, then it'll end up showing up under future agenda items on one of these agendas.
So then I should look at the regularly scheduled meeting in January agenda to see if there's a special meeting scheduled?
Yes, because the special meetings that we're anticipating coming up, we're going to have plenty of advanced warning on it. If there's a different issue that's unanticipated, then we could always call for a special meeting, with 24-hour notice. But because we're anticipating a meeting in January or February, you will see it identified on a regular agenda prior to the special meeting.
Okay, and those are public meetings?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to come forward? I guess we'll move on to special presentations and reports. Operations, Mr. Maraschino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maraschino. All right, for the last month or so, daily rounds, samples, 11 work orders, 9 USAs, 15 customer service calls. We had 5 after-hours call-outs. One was to unlock after we locked them off for no payment. It was after hours. We had a broken line in an alleyway of Ocean, 1800 block. It was a polybutylene line, a blue pipe. We had to completely replace that and install a new one. Paul Place, the customer broke his line, so we had to go out there and shut it off with the meter. We had another 16th Street. It was on a weekend. Same thing as a blue pipe, blew apart. We had to install a new one, run it from the main to the meter. The other one was a Stanley alarm for actually 1655 Front Street. The had to get reset. Something happened to the alarm function in the fire station. All right. The emergency generator project, we potholed the service lines from the emergency generator to the sheriff's building and the fire building, and got to see if we got to put it in pool boxes, anything like that. And the engineer was there, the electrical engineer, and the property also got surveyed. So that's coming along well for the electrical engineer to do what he needs to get done. Continue to do meter changeouts. Quite a bit of trash pickup lately, different locations from couches, refrigerators, to you name it. We've been busy doing that. We had a hazmat inspection at the yard by the county. That went very well. Waiting on the report from her, but everything was up to par with our training, how we store everything. No complaints that I'm aware of that will be coming from her report. A free sample class that Jason and Casey got to attend at San Miguelito. Then I attended a Buellton class for free, water math, which was good, good refresher course. The hooks got installed on the backhoe. We completed our dead end flushing. Lift station got cleaned. We did some fire flows for the state parks. First of the month equipment checks. That pretty much covers everything that's going on. Nothing catastrophic happened. Everything got fixed and repaired and replaced. Any questions?
Oh, I have one.
Yes, sir.
One of my neighbors was complaining that his neighbor across the street had like about a 5-foot steel, three-drawer cabinet with a free sign on it sitting on the edge of his driveway near the street. What should be done for that, if anything?
I would definitely call the office, and if it hasn't been picked up, maybe we can make contact with them. Find out.
I know, because I've driven by there a number of times after he was complaining to me, and it's just sitting there.
So formally underneath our ordinance, it's a 10-day notice. So if we're aware of something that's placed on the curbside in that type of a manner, we can post. We can notify the property owner and post. But the ordinance provides them 10 days. So they kind of get a free 10-day period to advertise free stuff to be taken away. And amazingly, within 10 days, a lot of times that stuff is taken away. But that's really how much time they have is 10 days.
Okay.
Call the office and let
us know. Call the office, and then we'll coordinate, contact the property owner, get the 10 days, you know, started.
Thanks. That's helpful.
Yeah.
I hate those neighborhood squabbles.
It's helpful.
I know. All they got to do is tell each other, you got 10 days. You only got 10 days.
Thank you.
Yes, anything else?
Tony, I did have a question. The broken pipes that you referred to?
Yes, it's a polybutylene.
Okay.
Polybutylene is a blue pipe that was made probably about 15 years ago. They stopped making it due to the integrity of the pipe. And it is really common and known that it does blow apart really easily after about 10 to 15 years. There was, I researched a little bit about it. There was a lawsuit on the manufacturer. They're out of business. They do not make it anymore. Okay. And in our system, you know, we might have 20%, you know, just from the breaks that we've had. I'm guessing 20%. We've replaced probably about 15 of them since I've been here in 5 years.
As a side note, I haven't reviewed with Tony yet. A state water board directive as a result of the lead issues and the follow-up on the Flint, Michigan item is that all the water systems have to go in and identify what the lateral materials are to make sure that they're not potentially, you know, harmful with the lead issue. So this coming year, we will be identifying the materials of all of our laterals, and we'll know the percentage of polybutylene a little bit better.
That'll be one pretty big task. You have to dig up each one and verify it.
Yeah.
All 2289 services.
That's horrendous.
Roughly.
That's horrendous.
It's coming down from the state.
But without any funding to do it. Yeah. I mean, they haven't said, here's money to go dig out all those 2289.
It's basically, yeah, to verify what's in our system, exactly.
I would assume we have a whole bunch of different...
Yes. What we do have is a lot of polyethylene, which is black pipe. It's good. We have some galvanized polybutylene, ethylene, galvy, plastic... Schedule 40 to Schedule 80. We have a variety.
Blue and white and black and brown and silver.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else?
Thank you.
I can give a little Five Cities Fire Authority report, just that the first day that fire started in Ventura, we were called down there. We have a crew that's been there ever since. And one of the things I think is a little interesting, they've been doing a variety. They've been all over. They were in Ojai. They were in Ventura. They've been in Santa Barbara. And one of the things they were assigned to is reassurance patrols. After the, like in Ventura, when all those houses burned down, and there would be some houses burnt down and some that were still standing, they would go through the communities watching for spot fires and rekindling, and also at the same time reassuring the people who had come back to their houses. And I think it's kind of interesting. They kind of selected the city fire departments and the not the wildland fire experts, but the community experts to do that kind of stuff, because they're more used to contacting their communities. So I thought it was kind of cool, because... you could be really terrified if you were, your house was there and the next three door neighbors were all burned down. Anyway, that's my report. Mr. Ogren?
Yes, Madam President, members of the board. In the package today as part of the general manager report, there's three pages. When your board adopted the rate decrease on October 11th, staff indicated that at the end of every billing period, we would provide an update on billing information. So on pages 3, 4, and 5 of the agenda today are the three sheets that have the updated information for our most recent billing. Now, the rate decrease doesn't go into effect until starting now, because the billing period that was already in effect when you adopted the rate decrease, you know, stayed at the old rates. And in a sense, the first sheet then just shows the numbers, our tables of. Second sheet shows the consumption number, and the black target line reflects the 20% conservation target that was established when the 2015 rate increase went into effect. And then the third sheet is the one that really is the bottom line and shows revenues. And in the shade on that far column to the right, it shows that for the three billing periods so far this fiscal year, we're still ahead of our revenue projection by about $13,000. So the update is really not much of an update. It's revenues are tracking slightly higher than our target, and then we'll be monitoring it as the rate decrease goes into effect.
Any questions? And I don't see anybody from the Sheriff's Department. Let's go to Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. Andrew? I mean, yes. Director Bonet.
That's fine. Andrew's fine, too. It's been a while, but I did attend the Zone 3 Advisory Committee on Thursday, November 16th. Weren't a whole lot of items on the agenda. I did want to give a few updates, though, that I think were of note. At the time, November 16th, the Lopez Lake was at 57.3%. Obviously, that's almost a month old, and without really any substantial rain, I think it's definitely dropped since then. I did want to give the update, and we've talked about it before. Tony, I know, has mentioned it, I think in last month, but the water plant had switched over to the free chlorine in order to really kind of clean and flush out the system, make sure it's kind of a more in-depth cleaning and making sure that, it keeps all the lines free and clear as it moves forward. So, and I don't remember the date that that's ending, but I do believe that's coming up soon. It ended. Okay. Thank you, Tony. Let's see, there were a couple of things. Regarding the budget, there had been something over the past really year that we had been looking at. A big project at the plant was their pH suppression system. And, in fact, Jill Ogren from the county was there and gave an update. They had set up about a year ago a temporary solution for that pH suppression, and there was a larger project that they were looking at doing. I guess as of now, the county's now looking at potentially keeping the temporary one and fixing it up a little bit more in order to, they said it provides what they need. And so the further project was a much larger, higher dollar. So it looks like that might not be needed going forward. And so obviously either that money, and I know, Pavel, you could probably tell more, either that money rolls over into the next budget year. Again, some of the costs do, and I think I reported a month or two ago, comes back to the district more as, I guess, when they rebuild for the next year, they take that cost off. So I thought that was something that was interesting and could be good as far as a cost savings. So the county had submitted, due to the Lake Oroville issue in the spring, the Division of Safety of Dams and Department of Water Resources had pretty much pinpointed any reservoir that had a same sort of spillway that had to submit a work plan by September 1st. So obviously the county did that. It was reviewed and approved by the Division of Safety of Dams. So now the next step is actually to move forward. It's at this point in time, it's just to set up developing a scope of work, what sort of analysis and review that the evaluation that they need to do on the spillway to further to make sure that possibly things that need to be done will get put into a work plan, submitted back to the Division of Safety of Dams to move forward with that. The good thing, and I've talked about this before, is that Lopez Lake in the spillway had went through, and Pavel was a big part of that, retrofitting back in the early 2000s. And so a lot of the issues that happened at Lake Oroville and the spillway there, a lot of that was taken care of about 17 years ago. So while there does need to be a more formal review and everything of the dam or of the spillway, I think that a lot of the major work has already been accomplished. So going forward, while there could be some projects and stuff that would have to go underway, I think a lot of it's already been taken care of. So additionally, just as a reminder to the yearly evaluation of the spillway happened in the summer, definitely had passing, you know, grades all the way through. So we're looking good at this point there. The last item to talk about would be so the contract change modeling in Pablo, I don't remember what the name of it is called, but do you happen to remember?
We're just generally referring it to it as the ECOR analysis.
That's right.
Okay. ECOR is the company that's doing evaluation of how storage levels might change if we have storage rights.
Right. And I know that they're still going through that. They're hoping to have a more further report, I think, in the coming first quarter of 2018. I think as of right now, things, a couple of the agencies had asked specifically about the safe yield, which is 8,730 acre feet, which had been established, I think, at the time when the reservoir was originally built. So, you know, the question being with how, you know, with droughts and looking at over the past, you know, 5 or 10 years, is that 8,730 still, is that the actual number? And I think that's a part of what they're looking at as they're going through, looking at the contract modeling and everything and seeing if that is still currently the allocation that we should be tracking to on a yearly basis. So there should be a report coming again. Hopefully I'll be able to report something here maybe February, March. So is there anything you'd like to add, Pablo, to that? Or?
I think you covered it very well, Director Brunet.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's all.
Director Angelo?
I don't have anything. Thank you.
Director Caldwell?
I have nothing.
Well, I went to the last meeting of the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District meeting. I think the major thing we did was we moved forward in the search for a new manager, authorized a company that seeks out managers. There was a suggestion that there might have to be an increase in the salary offered to find a very competent person. And we didn't act on that, but at least it was considered. And then we also did not act on an employee policy that I assumed we were going to vote on, but because it was the second reading. And it was tabled for further consideration. I guess we're going to have to go back through it chapter by chapter. And I think those were the major things we did. Anyway, and now I'd like to call for public comment on special presentations and reports. The public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters discussed during agenda items number 7, special presentations and reports. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes. And I don't see anybody coming forward. So let's move on to consent agenda items. And also, again, and I could call for public comment. Seeing nobody come forward. What's your pleasure, gentlemen and lady?
Well, I'll move we approve the consent agenda as submitted.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 4-0 with 1 absent. That was quick. Moving on to business items. And should I go ahead and call for a public comment before all the business items are individually, gentlemen?
You know, I'm not going to add anything verbally that's substantially, that's not addressed in the written statement.
Thank you. President White, I'm not going to be adding anything substantial in the verbal presentation. That's not otherwise written in the staff report. So I do recommend that you take public comment on all business items at this time. If there happens to be a particular somebody that says that they want addressed opportunity to speak in more detail at, then maybe we'll pull that one out. But certainly, at least to start, I'd recommend taking public comment on all the business items.
Then I will call for public comment on business items 9A, B, C, D, and E. Seeing no one come forward, we'll go to move to 9A, election of officers.
So, Madam President, on page 4, on agenda item number 9A, 404 on that item, page 25 altogether, is the exhibit of the existing committee and subject matter assignments. And so I think as part of board discussion and deliberations, then we can use that existing assignment sheet to identify if there's going to be any changes. The first question pursuant to the bylaws is the positions of the president and vice president of your board. And then from there, we consider the other committee assignments and subject matter assignments.
I guess I would like to just say, number one, this past year has been challenging. This definitely is a new board member. Got to come in with two other outstanding individuals, and I think back to our time in, I'm trying to remember, was it April when we went to the slow board? Yes. That I think that meeting that we had gone to for those couple of days, I think, was just fantastic for our board and working with one another, communicating with one another. And as a new board member, something that I'm a fairly a person that likes consistency, I'll just say that. And there's been a lot to learn over the past year, and not just here, but even in the outside committees that we're a part of, and developing relationships there. So I guess, I don't want to talk too much. I don't want too much wind here. But I would like to say I like what the setup that we have. I would personally wouldn't mind seeing President White remain as president over the next year. And continue to help lead this board and us as we move forward. I don't know what anybody else has to think about that.
I would echo what Director Brune has said. President White's done a great job. Mm-hmm. I really respect her a lot. And her historical perspective is terrific.
Thank you.
Well, I was kind of interested because Oceano is developing a tradition of presidents serving multiple terms, and certainly consistency does help. And
yeah, I would also like to see Linda Austin remain as vice president. I know she's not here right now, but I think she will be able to get back to the fold in January. I hope and I believe. I have been told that. And I would very much like to have her as vice president unless somebody else would like to volunteer.
I think Linda would be great.
Me too.
So I would, based on the bylaws, I would recommend a motion and a second and a formal vote on that.
Should we take them separately or...
I think you can do them together. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I would make a motion that we retain both President White as well as Vice President Austin to remain at their positions for 2018.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? It's moved and carried 4-0 with one absent, and I thank you very much for your support. Yes. Committees.
With respect to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. You know, the president has sort of the de facto position on South San Luis Obispo. Your board then identifies the alternate who often takes the lead. And so at this point in time, it's really the question of who's the alternate going to be for South San Luis Obispo CSD, and that has been Director Vice President Austin in the current year.
I would like to see that continue. I feel we work very well together, and I am looking forward to her ability to return so she can step back into that position.
Sounds good to me.
I would agree with that, as well as I think if everybody knows that this past year definitely was challenging for Vice President Austin, and everything that was going on at the Sanitation Board. And I think with a new year brings a whole new opportunity, and I think it would be fantastic to continue that forward and seeing what the new 2018 year brings. So I'm on board.
Do we need a motion for that? Oh, yeah, we probably do.
Well, one of the things you can do then is, so that's basically tentative that you want to keep with the same assignments to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And then maybe perhaps what we do is on our sheet of committee and subject matter assignments, identify any changes that your board might want to make. Because then the motion for all of the assignments could just focus on any changes that you might desire.
You want to change any?
And there's no obligation to make any changes.
As I've looked through the assignments, I don't see any reason to alter any of them.
I think we really would have strength in remaining for a second year, mm-hmm. because there was a learning curve with our new members, and now they're not new anymore. And I think it gives us more strength. And then after, because next November we'll face an election, and then we'll have a lot of position changes.
Yes. So if it's your board's inclination to maintain the existing assignments, then a motion and action to that extent would be appropriate. The only thing as an informational item I want to add is that the RFP ad hoc committee, which was approved on May 10th, will be, we've got an agenda item to address the local hazard mitigation plan, but after that one is completed, then that ad hoc committee's work would be completed. Again, ad hoc committees are intended only for basically limited purpose, short-term duration, and so we just have that last one, the local hazard mitigation plan, and then that ad hoc committee would cease to have a function.
Okay.
Well, then I would make a motion that we approve the committee assignments as indicated in our printed materials.
Yeah, I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 4-0 with one absent.
And then as we progress in 2018, in terms of future potential ad hoc committees, we're going to be doing a quite extensive public outreach in 2018 as compared to anything we've done over the last couple years. So whether it's part of the development of the local hazard mitigation plan or the water resource recovery plan, as we proceed on those work efforts, your board may be discussing whether you want to establish any ad hoc committees associated with that public outreach and education, but that would be at a future date in 2018.
Okay. Moving on to 9B. Annual review of the district's investment policy and consideration of recommendation to approve a resolution establishing the district's 12-18 investment policy.
So, Madam President, members of the board, on agenda item 9B, I had mentioned in past investment policy the idea that I would be coming forward with some recommendations on the investment policy, and so now we're here. You might also recall that in one of your October meetings, our business and accounting manager, Carrie Cassiola, had provided you a quarterly report that's required pursuant to some of the same government code sections as the investment policy. So we've essentially caught up on doing our required quarterly reporting on investments, and now turning to the policy itself. The thing that really jumped out at me was what appears to be a bit of ambiguity in the policy, where staff is authorized to set up certain investments, set up accounts, but we can't transfer money between accounts. And so basically the resolution flip-flops that. It does not provide staff with any authority to set up investment accounts or to set up any new accounts at all. That setting up any new bank accounts, setting up new investment accounts, will require specific board approval. But it authorizes staff to transfer money between accounts that have been previously set up. And obviously we have to do that, and we've been doing it as a practice anyhow, because we have to make sure enough money is in the checking account to pay bills that your board authorizes. And so, you know, part of that seems to be just a technical correction of an ambiguity. But I also want to place a little bit of an emphasis on this recommendation to require board approval on specific investment accounts. And that's in larger agencies, you know, counties and big cities, often that's delegated to either a city manager or an auditor controller at counties or a treasurer tax collector or something. But associated with that under the government code is what's called the prudent investor standard. And so a lot of times staff's responsibility is based on a prudent person standard. What would a prudent person do in your situation, and you're judged based on that? Well, the prudent investor standard is a much higher standard, and the argument is for little special districts, we simply don't train people to be prudent investors. That any new investment should come back to the board for full review, and why is staff recommending to do, you know, whatever it is that we do. So I can understand where it's impractical for large agencies to do so, but in our case, I think it's really important that the board does have, you know, the say on if certain investments are made. It happens to be that most of our funds are now held with the county, and under the government code section, the county and whoever is managing the county's fund has that prudent investor standard obligation on them. And to me, for a small special district, that's, again, makes sense. So a little bit of a technical correction here, a little bit of a clarification that it really is appropriate that your board approve any future investments that we might recommend, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Would I be errant in concluding that you're suggesting an imprudent policy?
I don't think so, but I'm going to have to seek advice from legal counsel, because that question seemed to have a double negative in there somewhere.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking when we talked about investments, you know, investments, our budget's so tight that, you know, we invest in a bank account to pay the bills.
Yeah.
No, I know. We have water money and we have other money that we do invest in, mostly in the county. But it sounds kind of funny when you think of it as opposed to going to the stock market and buying $10 million worth of stuff.
Yeah, that's right, because we are in a decent cash position for the district overall. There's no, you know, doubt about that. A few million dollars. I can't remember the precise number that Carrie reported at the last quarterly update. But we're in a decent cash position, and our liquid assets are good. But we don't have excess funds to really try to do any, you know, sophisticated investing with. nor do we anticipate that at any time in the near future, just, you know, keeping the basic cash balances. And we know that infrastructure funding is going to come about, and we might build up some cash balances in the future depending on the strategies to do equipment replacement. But again, that would just be any funding that we would build up would be over a short period of time to implement a project in a relatively near future. So we're not looking at any long-term, again, sophisticated investment strategies.
Does that mean no Bitcoin purchases?
No Bitcoin. I do not even know. I don't know. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's a new international currency. And,
I didn't know.
But I'm not aware of anybody having them in their pocket and walking to a grocery store and buying food yet. But
yeah.
No, we aren't.
Apparently you can buy some things online with them.
Well, it's about as volatile as it gets, though, as well.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many do you have?
Can we entertain a motion? Well, I'll make a motion. We approve a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceanic Community Service District adopting the year 2018 District Investment Policy.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded, and this will call for a roll call vote.
President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Burnett?
Yes.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
Thank you. Passes 4-0 with one absent. Moving on, 9C, approval of a recommendation authorizing the general manager to issue request for a proposal for professional services to prepare a local hazard mitigation plan. I'm very happy to see this moving forward.
Madam President, I have a little bit of a technical error in the recommendation, although I think it can be overlooked. I say to issue the attached request for proposals, and more properly it should say to issue a request for proposal based on the attached statement of work. And so what is actually attached is the statement of work for the preparation of the local hazard mitigation plan that California Office of Emergency Services and the Federal Emergency Management Agency have approved in the funding that they've provided, in the grant funds. So the steps would be for me to actually prepare the RFP. I've obtained a copy of a request for proposal that the county has for the development of a regional local hazard mitigation plan, multi-agency. And we'll use that as some formatting, but attach this statement of work. And then the process would be then to review it with Directors Angelo and Brunet as they're part of their ad hoc committee, and then to issue the RFP. So it's actually what's actually attached is a statement of work. But in a substance, then, the statement of work is in substance what we're asking the consultants to propose on. The as a side note, coordination with the county is has been started because the county also got a grant through CalEOAS and FEMA in order to prepare a larger regional plan. And they had contacted me early in 2017 asking whether we wanted to participate. The cost estimate they gave us was it was going to cost us $12,000. We had the grant, so I said, well, we've got a grant. And so we don't want to pay $12,000 if we have a grant. And they said they understood. Now then they got their grant. And so if we had participated, it would only cost $3,000. But that's still $3,000 we don't have to pay. So the strategy is as they move forward with their RFP, we also issue our RFP. And basically we're just hoping to select. I want to see who their consultant is that they select. Because if we use the same consultant, then the ability to integrate our local hazard mitigation plan into the regional one will be enhanced. So a statement of work is attached. If approved to proceed, then I'll be coordinating with our ad hoc subcommittee and also coordinating with the county as best as we can.
Any questions?
No questions.
I have one question. Under the other financial considerations, the district's local share of costs is $15,797 will be funded through in-kind services provided by district staff. Could you expound upon that?
Yes. So, as is the case with any real work effort, staff is going to be doing some work. Mm-hmm. And so the grant with Cal OES and FEMA assumes that the value of the services provided by district staff will be equal to $15,000. And so that's going to be a combination of Tony's time and the crews and my time and all the administrative stuff in terms of administering the grant gets counted. So if Nicole is working on that, which she normally would, then we track her time. And that is credited against the $15,000 as well. And it's pretty common in a lot of grants where the granting agencies want to make sure that the public agency staff is committed to the process.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve a recommendation authorizing the general manager to issue requests for proposals for professional services to prepare the local hazard mitigation plan.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 4-0. I can't keep up here. Item 9D, approval of a recommendation selecting the proposal from Cannon Associates to prepare for a water resource reliability program and authorizing the board president to approve a professional services agreement in the amount not to exceed $198,367.
Madam President, on the item 9D for the water resource reliability program, this is a great milestone to be at because schedule for January is to start kicking off the engineering work, and that's a direct critical path item for our deferred infrastructure program. As the board letter indicates, we distributed the request for proposals to four of the firms that were shortlisted last year by the board, as well as the district engineer. We received two proposals, one from Cannon Associates and the other from Water Systems Consultants. It makes sense that those were the two that proposed because those are the two firms that are actively engaged in projects and water resource issues that, you know, are associated with Oceano and the district. So those were the two firms that had the greatest existing knowledge associated with some of the work tasks. The review was completed by myself, our ad hoc committees of Director Angelo and Director Brunet, as well as our utility system supervisor, and unanimously we're recommending negotiating a services agreement with Cannon Associates. Both proposals were good. Both firms are very professional and well-respected firms. The scope of work is driven based on the leak detection grant that was provided through Proposition 84, and that's also the budget limit identified of $198,367. Both proposals came within those fees, so negotiating a contract within that dollar amount is certainly realistic and expected. The distinguishing factor really is were twofold. One is WSC consultants looked at the leak detection work that California Rural Water had already provided for us through the technical assistance program funded by the State Water Board and took a sort of a recommended alternative approach, which was based on what's called an asset management system. So to develop a CIP program based on asset management system. And that certainly has validity associated with it. However, it wasn't part of the grant application, so it varied from the scope of work of the grant itself, and that itself would be problematic. The idea of an asset management system is valid in a recommendation, but the approach that I was anticipating taking with the district was through the development of a GIS system. So graphic information systems, which are becoming extremely cost-effective, or where you place all your assets into table format, and basically it's driven based on our drawings of our existing system. So our district engineer, and we call them atlases, has all of our water system pipelines and our sewer system pipelines mapped out. And what we have to do in working with Tony and the crew is to identify where, make sure we've got all the valves and the appurtenances, I think we've used that word in a previous meeting, where those are all at, and get those on the maps too. But then through a GIS application, you actually create the tables of all your facilities, and then through a spreadsheet or a database format, you start looking at life cycle, and that's much more of a asset management or an accounting exercise. Now, in big agencies, they have programs, you know, prepackaged programs that large agencies will use in order to track, you know, the 1,000 valves that they might have. I anticipate that for Oceano, we'll be building something that's much smaller and easier to develop because we're a smaller agency and driven based on, again, a GIS application. So the WSC proposal has a certain amount of validity, but it just doesn't quite fit the case and our needs right now. The second distinguishing factor was on the component associated with low-impact development and the Canon proposal and their in-house staff who work on LID projects, low-impact development, was really a really good component to that proposal. And so for those reasons, and Canon tends to do a little bit more of the design and construction, harder engineering work, and WSC often does a lot more of project planning and big picture water resource management work. So again, the proposal from Canon seems to fit better to our needs at this point in time. Cost really not a consideration since the costs for both were pretty comparable. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
I think you summed it up well. Yeah.
I don't have any questions, but I do think Canon's probably the one to go with.
Okay, and you've reviewed it also. Mm-hmm. I would certainly take the recommendation of my ad hoc committee. Anything else?
No.
I can make a motion. So I'll make a motion that we approve the recommendation selecting the proposal from Canon Associates for preparation of the Water Resource Reliability Program and authorizing the board president to approve a professional services agreement in an amount not to exceed $198,367.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 4-0. One absent. Moving to item 9E, update on the utility yard plans and review of the alternatives.
And Madam President, on item 9E regarding the utility yard site plan that RRM is working on for us, this is an update item. I've included their scope of work and I've included the status, general status of each of the scope of works, as well as the three schematics that they've provided, A1, A2. And after we sat down with Tony and the crews, looked at A1, A2, we provided some feedback, and RRM came up with scenario A3 then. And in some ways, all three scenarios are really minor variations of each other. And for the scope of work that RRM is doing, the selecting item A3 isn't something that is a decision today that is a final decision on anything. Essentially, A3 addresses a number of the staff questions regarding A1 and A2, but proceeding to the next step with RRM, which is to develop design estimates and cost estimates, you know, the variation in cost estimates that we would see right now between A1, A2, and A3 really aren't going to make much difference, right? So they've done a really good job of laying out some alternatives for us. Their next step is to develop some cost estimates, and that's kind of where the significance of you know, what's it going to cost to upgrade the utility yard from its current status to something that's much better. What A1, A2, and A3 do allow us to do, though, is to start working with the neighboring property owner, because the neighboring property owner was looking for an easement through our property to provide him with the ability to do a lot split. And your board already gave us direction that it's okay to work with that property owner, so we'll start doing that. And overall, the design work, or this conceptual design work that RRM has provided, I think it really looks pretty good. 19th Street is a odd street, the way that our yard protrudes out into sort of the middle of what we would expect the road, the street to be. And so these options will provide some additional setback. It will improve the aesthetics for the neighborhood. And in addition to developing cost estimates, RRM's next step is to go to the county and to get county feedback, because questions associated with curb, gutter, and sidewalk, questions associated with setbacks and whatnot, are some things that, given the unique nature of the layout of the property and the adjacent county-maintained street, certainly we can anticipate that the county is going to look at this a bit closer, and so RRM is going to be proceeding with that work as well in January. And I'm certainly pleased with their work. I'm pleased with the alternatives that they're laying out right now. Again, this isn't a final selection of a design. It's conceptual work and coming up with general cost estimates. And that will give us the ability to factor a project into our long-term capital improvement program. And then at some point in time in the near future, we'd be hopefully, in near future, I really mean probably like 2019, hopefully we would be looking at actually focusing on design issues and how to proceed with the project. But that's all subject to reviewing the overall capital improvement program, setting priorities, and seeing where this project might land in the district's overall priority.
I noticed that the one you selected, A3, had a larger, it seemed to have a larger shop than the other two.
Yes, and that was one of the points of feedback on A1 and A2, that one of the primary feedback points was the circulation of 18-wheelers through the truck. Even though it's infrequent, we wanted to make sure we still had that ability to do. And so A3 has some additional curves. But after looking at A1 and A2, we also recognized that we probably had a little bit of room to make the shop bigger. So, in fact, they were able to accomplish that in A3, is to make the shop a little bit bigger, and they evaluated the turning radiuses of the semi-trucks in A3 to make sure that they would be able to get out of the yard as well.
Yeah.
You see hatch marks on the left side near the home, and that was just identifying that in that public open space, we would anticipate using permeable pavers as opposed to asphalt. Back on the yard, we still want to keep with asphalt back there. But outside the gates, we want to dress up the aesthetics a little bit, or reasonable amount, and so that's what the hatch marks indicate, is to do some sort of pavers out there.
I like that drive-through shop, too.
I think Tony really likes that drive-through shop, too.
It is just...
looks a lot smoother.
Huh?
Looks to be a lot smoother to get in and out.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be nicer for the neighbors.
Yeah, as a reminder for the public who might be listening, the existing structures are in, a serious state of decay. We had some of the facilities that will stay, like our, the airplane hangar, the barn, or what, our big storage facility. We had that tented for termites this last year. But the smaller facilities, we didn't bother with the expense. We kind of were joking that we think the termites might actually be holding up the building right now. But they're in serious state of the need for upgrades. So the overall efficiency of the site, improvement of the street aesthetics for the neighborhood, make it more appropriate for the neighborhood, and the good circulation in the back for semi-trucks were all some of the primary objectives in looking at the conceptual design.
It seems like the one thing that I had a question was the entrances to the office and the shop. There's no overhang or porch or anything there. Just go in the door, go out the door. They showed a little on the other one of them. They showed at least a sidewalk or something. So it's just out of the black.
So
not the front entrance, the side entrance.
Yeah. So this is a site plan layout, and it's really in the rendering or the under their scope of work. They have schematic architectural plans. That's a future task under a future deliverable under task A3.
Okay.
So right now under the deliverables in task A3, they've basically done the conceptual site plan studies. They also have to do what's called building mass studies, which I don't know what that really is. Review the concept plans by the team. But then the last bullet there is schematic architectural plans. And that's when they would start working then on what are the design features of the actual buildings. And so what would the roof lines look like? What kind of eaves might you have or other types of porch structures or roof lines in order to make sure to address especially weather? The under A3, what we did focus on is the two public parking spots there and making sure that the public access is not on the main street but sort of on that side by the two visitor parking spots.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Made sure that the shop and that in the back of the yard, the exit in and out of the main building and the entrance exit into the shop were basically right next to each other. They show those as both being exterior entrance exits for both the main building, the blue, and the shop, which is more of a, it's a pinkish color. I would anticipate in a final design you would have a door right but directly between the two, structures. So there's always a little bit of changes that will be worked in final design work. We'll also, in terms of the exit of the of the 18-wheelers, we'll look at that more closely in final design as well.
Okay. Anything else?
Looks good to me. Good.
Quick status update, and in January, their RRM will be proceeding with next and final steps, and we'll have a report for you to review in early 2018.
All right. Thank you. Okay, moving on to item 10, any hearing items? I don't believe so. Any late written communications or written communications?
Nope.
Future agenda items, I think we've pretty well discussed some of them.
Yeah, and again, as a point of clarification based on public comment earlier tonight, when we have when we anticipate having a special meeting, then the idea is we'll identify it on an agenda prior to that special meeting so that the public, because most often public is looking at the regular meetings. But again, if we have an unanticipated need for a special meeting, It might pop up, not show up on a regular agenda. We don't have any unanticipated ones because we're, you know, it's kind of the difference between anticipated and unanticipated. So the public still needs to watch the website, especially for any special meetings that might come up that were not anticipated.
I did have something I wanted to add.
Yes.
It's more of a question and potentially an ask. This is kind of out of left field, I know. But a large portion of Oceano residents and their children go to Oceano Elementary. And then a lot of them, like where we're at within the Lucia Mart district, go to Fairgrove.
Yes.
And Fairgrove's in a weird spot because it's in Grover Beach, but a lot of the housing and everything's on Oceano sides. And there's only one crosswalk to get across that. What is that there? I can't remember.
I'm
terrible with names. The Pike. Yes, the Pike. And I know it's been talked about at the school because you have different agencies. You have, you know, Oceano on our side, then you have, which we don't own roads anyway, to county, to Grover Beach, and then you have the school district. And it just seems like from a safety perspective, now that my son's gone there almost a year and a half, and I know the school, the principal has said something as well. And I was just wondering with our fantastic general manager who's worked with the county and everything, maybe if it's something, I know it doesn't necessarily fall on us, but just to see if there's even some conversations that can get started, because I know I've heard a lot of parents and it's a lot of our residents and constituents that, with only one crosswalk, it's pretty tough. It's very chaotic.
So we do have a board member who's assigned to the Oceano Advisory Committee, and so I can work with that individual in contacting the county and encouraging a review by OAC.
That'd be great. Yes. Thank you.
Not to dampen the thing, but was the stop sign at the crosswalk and the one down and the other one, I don't know whether from a traffic flow standpoint they would allow another one. I mean, I would certainly support it. I'd go through there all the time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because they really need one at each end of the campus. I see parents jaywalking with their kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I suspect it's going to be a difficult action.
It seems that way. Yeah.
But I'll surely carry it to Oceano Advisory. I made a note.
Cool. Thank you.
Anything else?
Nothing for me.
Nada. I suppose I could take time to wish the community a Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, happy winter solstice, and let's celebrate the season and pray for rain. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.